Hi, everyone. My name is Damara West, and I'm founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing so that they can lead and live lives on their own terms. I'm delighted to bring you the Women Who Write to Liberate Summit, and I have an amazing speaker on the lineup today called Zia Clark. You're going to get to know her in detail in just a little bit. So you signed up for this summit because maybe you're looking to write a book, maybe you're looking to find your authentic voice, maybe you're looking to up your wellness game, but no matter what your decision was to say yes to this, I want to thank you. You are going to be hearing from 17 plus speakers who have written books and who support the craft of writing to help you to find your authentic voice and support you in writing your first book if that's something that you decide that you want to do. So let me tell you a little bit about Z. Oh my gosh. So I got to see this woman during the Breathwork Summit, and I was so moved by the things that she said and her body of work, which is called Black People Breathe. What a powerful title, that this is something that you are going to benefit from so much. And regardless of if you're a person of color or not, you identify as Black, you are going to get something really essential out of this talk. Zia Clark went from leading teams at Fortune 500 companies and startups in Silicon Valley to teaching mindfulness and breathwork to people of color. After experiencing a number of race-related challenges, from racial profiling and harassment by the police to microaggressions in the workplace, Zia realized that mindfulness and breathwork were much more powerful outside of the yoga studio and in the context of our everyday lives. Trained in India, Zia leverages her toolkit of yoga, meditation, breathwork, sound healing, and Reiki to ensure that all people of color have the tools to thrive despite any challenges that race, gender, or sexuality might present to them. Zia's also a Harvard MBA, and she's the author, once again, of Black People Breathe, which is going to be released March 14th by Penguin Random House. And so this is an extra special interview, which is right on the tail end of this release. So Zia, thank you so much for saying yes to this partnership.
Of course, I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Yes, yes. So let's dive right into your journey. You went from having a Harvard MBA, you still have a Harvard MBA, but you went from a Harvard MBA and a tech exec working in corporate America to a global mindfulness and breathwork teacher and the author of your first book. Talk to us about that journey.
Yeah, I'd say that it all starts with burnout. You see, in that time in corporate America, whether it was at the big Fortune 500 companies or startups, I was usually the only woman in the room, the only Black person. And that came with a lot of challenges, particularly around microaggressions. People saying things like, "Are you the new diversity hire?" or making comments that questioned my competence. And so I felt like I needed to work twice as hard just to be treated like everybody else. I worked nights. I worked weekends, and that ultimately led me to burnout. I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, I had constant anxiety. And at a certain point, doctors were like, "Something's got to change." And that's when I quit. I went to India. I did the Black girl version of eat, pray, love. I was meditating. I was doing yoga. I was doing all the things to heal myself. And that's when I realized that mindfulness and breathwork can be such powerful tools in helping us heal from racism and all of the negative experiences that we have as people of color in this country.
Yeah. So one of the things that I heard you talk about when I was first introduced to your work was that right around the George Floyd incident, you were being asked to take on a lot more responsibilities. Yes. And many people of color can attest to being the point person, the spokesperson, the multiple hats wearing person to take on this work. So talk to us about the impact of that and how we can resist the culture that invites us in and says that you have to do X, Y, and Z just because you have this particular identity.
Yeah. Well, it is so challenging because we do feel like we need to work twice as hard as everybody else. And so I found myself saying yes to everything because I was scared that I might lose my job. I was scared that people would say that I wasn't a team player. I was worried about stereotypes like angry Black woman, for example. And so I didn't set boundaries. And I'd say there is a mantra that I have adopted recently, and it is this: today I choose me. Because if you don't choose yourself, then you're going to constantly be giving and giving and giving, and eventually you're just going to break. Chronic stress is real. And then, you know, they say on an airplane, if you don't put, you know, put your mask on first and then help others. If we don't put our mask on first, if we don't set boundaries and tell folks, look, this is what I'm capable of. These are the hours that I'm going to work. These are the channels of communication that are acceptable. Do not text me on a Saturday morning about work, for example. Today, I choose me. And it is true. When you are the only, you are asked to not only represent all of the people of your demographic, but more than that, especially as Black women and women of color, people just ask us to do more things. You know, the term invisible labor is usually referring to at home, right? And the extra work that women do. But in the workplace, I've been asked to do things like order lunch or take notes. And I'm like, is that the best use of my Harvard MBA? And so I invite folks to really choose you. Today, I choose me. Set boundaries and communicate those boundaries and stick to them.
Yeah. You know, Z, that intention alone, right? I mean, that intention coupled with all the other ways that you support people is super powerful. But if even people weren't going to practice breath work or any other healing modalities, just saying that and giving ourselves the permission has the ability to interrupt burnout culture. And as we both know, you know, burnout culture is not universal in terms of who it affects. It affects people of color more. It affects actually Black women more than any other group of people, which makes your work that much more important.
Yes.
Yeah. Preach. Yes, sis. Oh, you're preaching to us. So the next thing I want to explore with you is that tell us about what breath work is and why it's so important for Black people to own their breath, right? So I'm not just talking about why is it so important to breathe. We know that we automatically breathe, but you're teaching people how to really manipulate their breath so that they can take back their power and restore themselves. And there's an ownership in that. So talk to us about breath work and why it's so important to own that part of ourselves.
Yes. Well, breath work is breathing with intention. It could be long and deep breaths. It could be short and fast breaths. It could be holding your breath, but it's breathing with intention. And research shows that breath work lowers your blood pressure, strengthens your immune system, and so much more. It's important for Black people to breathe because now research shows that microaggressions and racism cause our higher rates of high blood pressure and heart disease. It weakens our immune system, which we can look at COVID rates and how who was disproportionately affected by COVID, but also it causes anxiety, depression. You know, a lot of Black women go undiagnosed about depression because we have different symptoms. The reason we have different symptoms is we can't afford to be sad. And, you know, we got to keep it moving. That's how we were trained. And so our depression goes undiagnosed. But here's the thing. Breathing can actually help us with all of the things that microaggressions and racism cause. That's why it's so important for us to integrate breathing practices into our everyday lives.
Yeah. You know, what I love about breath work is that, and really any kind of healing modality, all of it is connected to breath. Right. And we both know breath is life force energy. And so the fact that we can just breathe deeply 3 times, inhaling and exhaling, and being able to just come back to self, calm ourselves down. But there's so much more to breath work than that, though. Right. And so, No, and I know this is in your book and we don't want to give too much away, but talk to us about some of the most simple practices that we can use to co-create that balance based on just tapping into our breath.
Yeah. Well, the first thing and the most important thing is to be mindful of how we're feeling. You know, every morning I wake up and I say, good morning, Z, how are you? Right? And just that fact and using my name allows me to feel cared for, but also there's a little separation, right? Because the ego gets involved, right? So identifying how you're feeling. And then I believe the breath is like medicine. Basically, just like you take Advil when you have a headache, just like when you take antihistamines, when you have allergies, there is a specific breathing practice that you can use based on how you're feeling. So in my book, Black People Breathe, I share specific situations that we deal with and then a breathing practice that you can use. For example, if you are feeling overwhelmed, let's say you say, well, how are you feeling? I am feeling overwhelmed. Well, then a simple breathing practice that I share is the three-part breath for grounding. You want to do it with me?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. All right. I invite you to sit up straight, shoulders back and down, get our full lung capacity. You're going to breathe in and out through the nose. And let's do it. Inhale and feel that air come through your throat, filling up your chest, filling up your belly big. Exhale, feel the air come from your belly, through your chest, through your throat. Again, inhale, throat, chest big, belly big. Exhale, belly, chest, throat. And just relax and take a moment and notice how you feel. So when you're overwhelmed, you can simply do that. And here's the best thing about breath work. You can do it anytime, anywhere. You don't need to make an appointment. You don't need to go to a class. And it's free. That's what I love about breath work. You can be like, go to therapy. And look, therapy is very helpful. I'm a strong believer in therapy. And also, it's hard to find a Black therapist and it's expensive. And does your insurance cover it? Do you have insurance, right? Breathing you can do without insurance. And there's a breathing practice for anxiety, one for when you're exhausted, right? There are so many breathing practices and it's all about identifying how am I feeling? And then what's a breathing practice for me?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things I want to say about that practice. And thank you for inviting me in to practice with you. Is that even just calling out the parts of the body, the chest, the stomach, that alone helps us go deeper, right? So, you know, the breath alone, as we know, has power to calm us, right? To center us. But the breath with that focus, the breath with that intention, in that really short practice, it was like, ooh, I feel lighter, right? Just from that short practice. And so I imagine that there are tons of practices, and I love that you've curated specific scenarios and breath work practice that helps to alleviate that particular scenario. Yes. And the last thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I say often, and this is really in part the inspiration behind Be Well, Beautiful Woman, that if you can heal yourself, why wouldn't you? Right? Mm. If you can heal yourself, why wouldn't you? You don't have to wait on anyone. And I love what you said. And I'm a therapist, you know, formally trained. And yet what I know to be true is the limited efficacy of therapy. And the real healing for me has come about through self-practices involving things like breath work and yoga and, you know, all of the things that you laid out, Reiki. Those have been the things that have really amplified my ability to become one with self, to restore my power, to tap into my creative reservoir. And so, and the fact that anyone of course can benefit from this, but that you've really carved out this space just for us, that is deeply powerful. And I know that you use a lot of research and all kinds of things to help us to really understand the power of breath.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that, you know, I want to share is that we can't control the world around us. We can't control how other people act. We can't control what they do, but what we can control is what happens in here. That's taking back our power. That, you know, the name of my company is Reclaiming Flow. Flow state, the optimal state of consciousness where we feel our best and perform our best. And we need to reclaim that because it has been stolen from us for generations, but through the breath, we have the power to reclaim it.
Yes, I love that. So I imagine in your work over the years, and not just for yourself and the benefits that you have clearly been able to tap into, talk to us about some of the other benefits that have shown up for people as a result of engaging in breathwork practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there are physical benefits, which I shared a little bit earlier, but it lowers your blood pressure, strengthens your immune system, helps to relieve anxiety and depression. But you know, one of the biggest and I guess most surprising things is actually self-confidence. So I found myself, especially as a woman and a Black woman in the workplace, starting to doubt myself, starting to believe what other people were saying, either saying about me or kind of the way they were acting, how, you know, what that implied about me. And so I'll say that I have much more confidence now through certain breathing practices for confidence, but also just having a more solid foundation. So things are going to happen. The winds are going to blow, tornadoes are going to come in whatever fashion that that might be. But having a solid foundation, that's what breathing can do, because really it's focused on our nervous system, right? And so our sympathetic nervous system is our fight, flight, or freeze nervous system. That's when somebody says something or does something and we feel unsafe. That could be physically unsafe, like with the police. That could also be psychologically unsafe based on how people are acting, right? And so if we can stimulate our parasympathetic nervous system, our rest and digest nervous system, our ability to be calm, well, that is just helping our overall well-being so that, you know, we can not only survive, but thrive in a world that is still slow to change.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, and for so many of us, we kind of stay within our world, right? Because that's what feels safe for us.
Yeah.
So it could be our home space. It could be our community. And I, you know, I've heard many people say, well, I don't go there because Black people don't do that. Black people don't go there. And I think in part what you're offering is that through breath work, we're able to really tap in to the psychological safe spaces of rest that life has oftentimes stripped from us, right? And has, you know, kind of defined, as you said, how we see ourselves and what we think is possible for our lives. And, you know, this is allowing people to say, no, wait a minute, like rest is good for me and rest is important. And I too deserve rest.
Yes, yes. And you know, one thing that you said that kind of struck a chord was, oh, Black people don't go there. And also like the Black people don't do that. I was somebody that said Black people don't meditate, right? And here's the thing, the media shows a lot of white faces in the wellness space, right? In terms of yoga, meditation. But here's the thing, white people didn't invent these practices. These practices came from the East. That's why I went to India to learn from the source. Like, look, I've had lots of wonderful white yoga teachers, right? Beautiful humans. And they're not the source. That's lost in translation. And so the thing is, these practices are for us. And let me tell you about a practice, you know, I call it a mindfulness practice, which has been used for thousands of years in Africa, which is dance. One of the practices in Black People Breathe, I call it conscious dance release. But our people have been moving our bodies to drum beats for generations to heal, to feel better whenever something is going wrong, right? And so these practices are ours, and we need to come back to those, come back to source, come back to where we came from, including there is breathing in a lot of ancient traditions, and it wasn't white people, right? So these practices are for us.
Yeah. And they're indigenous, right? And I love that you've gifted us with this book as a reminder that this is really a coming home. Yes. We may not have known that this was our home, but I'm inviting you in to take up space in your home. And these are really not new practices. And so I talk often about the whitewashing of wellness. And so that's why folks like you are so important, because we know that even though the world says that someone like Z is an anomaly, the reality is that you're not an anomaly, right? There have been spiritual teachers since, you know, as long as wellness practices existed, that that people of color birthed into the world. And, you know, whites have gravitated and been able to monetize, and that's great. And there are great people out there, as you said. And yet the sacred space of us coming back to indigenous practices that are accessible, that don't cost us a dime, that helps us to ignite our own healing, What is more powerful than that?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that we can be our best selves, you know, because mm-hmm. stuff just comes at us and makes us doubt ourselves. You know, I want to share a quick story, you know, for especially for aspiring writers out there. When I was 11 years old, I tried to get a short story published. And I, to this day, I have a piece of paper, a physical letter from Random House that says, sorry, we can't take the story, but Z is somebody to watch in the future. My publisher for Black People Breathe is Penguin Random House. The future is now. And I say this to say that we're going to get some rejections. We're going to get some rejections. But you know what's in our blood? Resilience, because we have been beat down. We have got, you know, we've experienced the struggle, but what we also inherited from our ancestors was our ability to stand back up and to keep going.
You know, I say often, like, the spirit of Black people, it blows my mind, because we have been able to rise without many of these practices. Mm-hmm. And so what more will we be able to do as we make more room for breath and other kinds of practices through the facilitation of folks like you to help us to understand the power, right, of these Indigenous practices? So as we get ready to wrap up, Z, I would love for you to speak to just final words of inspiration for people to tap into their breath.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I want to say is just a reminder of today I choose me. Today I choose me. So take the time to breathe. Maybe make it a morning practice. Every morning when you wake up, take 5 minutes. You can't tell me you don't have 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes to just take some deep breaths. The other invitation I want to share is a practice in the book Black People Breathe that is, I feel restored when. We are all different. How would you finish that sentence? Make a list. What are all the things that help you to feel restored? Breathing might be one of them. Going for a walk outside might be another. Hugging your family members might be another. Taking a long bath. What is it for you? We are all different. Make your list now. Make your list when you feel good, so that when that hard thing happens, you can just go to your list and be like, oh, you know what I need right now? I need this.
Yeah. I love the individualized nature of that response and the invitation to be intentional, to pre-plan for it, right? And so oftentimes we approach wellness with, you know, I need to take a vacation. And then we go on vacation, and many of us work on vacation, and we come back from vacation and we're working. And then we say we need another vacation, right? Okay. And so, and what you're saying is that the way for us to be well, really well, is by doing it in ways that we feel called to do, and doing it in ways on an ongoing basis, and not waiting for the catastrophe to happen, right, before we practice. And so, you know, instead of approaching it from this reactive perspective, let's be proactive, right? Yes. Let's be ready and have things available in our toolbox, including Black People Breathe, which comes out March 14th by Penguin Random House. So talk to us about how we can stay in touch with you, how we can buy this amazing body of work when it comes out. And thank you. And just thank you, sis. This has been amazing. Yeah. And I know folks are touched by your words and are going to want to stay in touch and are going to want to buy this book. I know I will. So yes. Talk about that.
You can stay in touch by going to my website, zclarke.com. That's zeeclarke.com. And you can join my mailing list. I share monthly breathing practices. You can also follow me on social media, zclarkebreathes.com. That's zeeclarke breathes. On, you know, Instagram, TikTok, and all the things, but also I have a YouTube channel where I share guided practices. So when you're feeling like, oh, I'm anxious, or I can't sleep, or I'm tired, you can just go there, find a breathing practice, and take back your power, reclaim your flow.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You know, I love this because your work and all the resources that you put out are so plentiful. And, you know, when we talk about representation and how much it matters, we know that in the US, there aren't a lot of folks that look like you that are breathwork facilitators.
Yeah.
And so that alone is something really powerful, not to mention the way that you've really immersed yourself. So you don't talk about this, you are this. And, so I can't wait for this really beautiful body of work to be delivered to the world. And thank you again for saying yes to this. I just appreciate you so much. And I'm so glad that I found you. There are no mistakes in life though, right? Like,
no.
Oh my gosh. We are always being guided, which is another reason why breath work is so important, because it helps us to know when we're being guided.
Exactly.
So you all heard it here, Zee Clark. Make sure that you follow her. Make sure that you check out her amazing content. And March 14th is when her book releases. So by the time you get this video in your inbox, that book is already going to be available. You will have those links available, all the ways that you can follow her and your opportunity to purchase this book so that you can amplify your wellness with breath work. Until next time, beauties. Ashe.